Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Wisdom Wide Open Radio. Join me, your host, Susie Bonham Craig, as we embark on another journey to open the portal of wisdom. I invite you to participate in the chat room and call in with your questions on 718-305-6584 and press 1 to enter the queue. And now, our journey begins. Soulmates and journeyers, welcome to another episode of Wisdom Wide Open Radio. Today is Sunday, March 14th, and we are embarking on spring. I can't tell you how much I'm looking forward to the spring awakening since being buried in snow for most of December, January, mostly February. I have to say today that Mother Earth is certainly feeling her weight, her water weight. This weekend, we are absolutely drenched here on the Jersey Shore. So if you're really looking to soak up Mother Earth, come here and take a few steps on the earth in Jersey, because you'll definitely sink in and feel her. But I'm really excited tonight to be presenting to you Keith Leon. He is our special guest this evening. And what we're going to be talking about is the secrets to making powerful connections, our paths to wisdom and success. And the reason I'm excited about bringing forth Keith on the show tonight is because through this wave of social media and social networking, there seems to be a spin of how many connections we can get, how many people we can actually connect to, rather than really looking at the value of the like-mindedness and the values that lie within the connections that we want to make that can help us on our own path, as well as enlighten other people on their path. So I'd like to bring on Keith, but before I do, I'd just like to mention a little bit about him. Keith started out as a relationship coach and combined with his wife, Maura, have mastered over 25 years of relationship coaching and helping people coach through relationships. And there was one thing that Keith, I guess, realized along his journey was really how in building relationships with other people, how we learn to leverage them. And he's authored a book called Who Do You Think You Are? And we're going to be delving into that a little bit, as well as later on in the program, Keith will be sharing 11 essential, how can we say this? The essential keys to self-confidence. And this is really going to open doors for people who are wanting to connect with those that are influential out there. Some of us feel like, you know, we haven't got a chance to relate with those people, and Keith's really going to change that paradigm for us. So I'd like to welcome on Keith Leon. Keith, are you with us?
I am here. Thanks for having
me. Awesome. It's great to have you. I know we've been trying to connect for a while, and I do have to say that you have become a valuable connection in my sphere of being on the radio, having been, you know, being mutually radio hosts and bringing forth and sharing a lot of the messages that we do for our listeners. So perhaps you can delve into why you're here today. Why was it important, and what kind of a message do you have to share today with our listeners?
Well, I really just want to connect with people and let them know exactly what you said, that they have the ability within them to connect with anyone that they want to. And there's a certain way to go about it, and that's something that I've learned in the past few years, and so I'm here to share that.
Okay, well, can you just tell us how you embarked on your book before we do that, and then you can tell us how you got there?
Sure. On Who Do You Think You Are, on that book?
Yes. Absolutely.
Sure. Okay. On Valentine's Day in 2006, my wife and I had a project come to an end, and we had spent a year working on this project around the clock, and it tanked, and miserably. And we just felt like we had experienced the worst business failure that we ever had. And my wife wanted to take a little time to mourn that project, take a little time off. And I wanted to do exactly the opposite. I just wanted to move on to the next thing and put it behind me. So I looked at my wife and I asked her, well, just give me the best book title that I've ever heard in my life, and I'll just get on with it. And about a minute and a half later, she looked at me and said, who do you think you are? I said, what? What did I do? And she said, no, that's the book title, silly. And and so after I picked myself up off the floor from laughing, I was blown away. I thought that was the greatest book title I ever heard. Who do you think you are? So I asked her, well, what would it be about? And we kind of brainstormed a few ideas. And essentially, I ended up going to meditation and prayer, thinking about what the book should be about. And when I was in the silence, I started to remember a time that I was searching to find my purpose. And a time when I had no direction because I wasn't even sure why I was here. And during that time, I wished that I could sit down in front of all the greatest minds in the world and people that I felt were clearly living their purpose. And I wished that I could sit down and ask them questions, pick their brains. I wished I could ask them, how did they discover their purpose? And what advice would they give me to help me discover mine? And I soon realized that this subject just had a ton of juice for me. And so that's where I came up with, who do you think you are? Discover the purpose of your life. And now that I had the concept of the book in place, I would interview people that I felt were living their purpose. And really, not even the sky was the limit. You know, I just I made a list of everybody that I would like to interview and everybody that I feel was totally on purpose. And that's when I sat down to contact them.
You know, I have to jump in here right now, Keith, because, you know, I feel like we come from the same seed. Because this is exactly what came before, you know, putting the radio show together, for putting Wisdom Wide Open Radio together, was this intense, innate, resonating desire to reach out to the visionaries and the luminaries in the world that had touched me, but had a center of influence that I wanted to be alongside. I wanted to learn, and I wanted to grow with. And I wanted to really get under the armpits. As, you know, both students of Jack Canfield, you know, that thing comes to mind is, you know, what he mentions in the Success Principles book. And that, you know, when he talks about creating mastermind groups, and that is to really connect with, get under the sleeves of somebody that has done what you want to do or is connected with what you want to do. So, you know, making making the list of who I wanted to be there. So
yeah.
let's move forward from there.
Ah, so you're probably wondering, how did I call him up?
Yeah.
how did I do that?
Okay. Well, I can tell everyone out there from my own experience that, you know, had I met Keith way back when I started gathering all the fruitful ambitions of my journey, was that I probably would have benefited much better back then, because I probably would have eliminated most of the stage fright that accompanied, you know, my ambition. So let's go on and talk about how that's done.
I wish I had met me too a couple of years before I learned all this, because I learned a lot of how not to ask before I learned how to ask. But when I went down, sat down to call the people that were on my list, of course I was nervous. I got to be real with you and tell you, my heart was pounding out of my chest, and I was like, how am I going to make these calls? And so what I did was I went to my bookshelf and I grabbed every book on the shelf from all the people who I'd studied with over the years. The ones some of them I already knew personally, and people whose workshops I had done in the past. So, and I turned all the books over where their pictures were facing me. So I had Jack Canfield, Mark Victor Hansen, Terry Cole Whitaker, Harv Eker, Reverend Michael Beckwith, John DeMartini, John Gray, and Bob Proctor all looking at me, right? And I looked in their eyes, and I imagined every one of them saying in their voice to me, you can do it, Keith. pick up the phone, make the call. You have the right project for the right reasons. Woohoo! You can do it. It's easy. You have the right project. Pick up the phone. Pick up the phone. Call me. So eventually I picked up the phone, and I called the first one, and my heart was beating out of my chest, but I did it anyway. And out of those eight names that I just mentioned, six of them are in Who Do You Think You Are?
Wow.
I interviewed 68 people altogether. And 63 of them made it into the final draft of the book. But here's the cool thing. I only asked 80 people to be in the book. So I got 68 yeses from 80 people that I asked. And out of the 12 no's, 10 of those people were not the actual people that I asked. It was their publicist who came back and said, they have a book coming out at the same time as yours, and they can't be in their book and yours, so they're going to have to pass. So really, only two people said no out of 80 people. Which is just phenomenal. Like if I was in sales and I closed 78 out of 80 people,
absolutely.
That'd be a nice paycheck, right?
Yes, it would, and you'd probably make millions just helping corporations out there.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, on sales ratios.
Yeah. So after what I had done was, I made the list, and then as soon as I would call one person up, I would hang up. Well, actually, I'm going in reverse order. The first thing I did was I created this thing called an elevator email. Okay? So have you heard of an elevator speech?
Right.
I think that's something that Jack and Mark teach, right? Jack Canfield and Mark Victor Hansen. It's like an elevator speech is where you can talk about the project and how it will benefit everyone and how you want them involved, and you can do all that in the space of an elevator ride, right? From the elevator ride to the curb. So I took that and put it in the form of an email so that you could see the whole message and all the information within the space of the window when you open up the window, and you wouldn't have to scroll down to see anything, right? And so I put together an elevator email, and I wanted to share with you how I did that. So you probably want to just grab something to write with, because this is valuable. This is like...
All right, you hear this, everyone?
Yeah.
Get out the pens and paper and jot this down.
Elevator email, okay? The first thing you're going to need is a really catchy subject title. That's the first thing they're going to see when they open it up, and they're seeing hundreds of different emails. So it's really going to be the title that jumps out, that catches them. Mine was interview request for the next bestseller, right? That'll catch you enough to want to open it up. Then the next step is your greeting. You know, hello, Jack, whatever you want to say. And then the next is who you are. So greeting and who you are. That would look like, hello, Jack, my name is Keith Leon.
Right.
Next is where you met. That's where I say, we met at your Breakthrough to Success seminar, or we were introduced by so-and-so. And if you haven't met them, then tell them why you're contacting, like, I'm a big fan, I have all your books, or I have your program, or, you know, basically where you met or how you know them.
Right.
The next one is, why are you contacting them? So, you know, I love your work, etc. That's that piece. The next piece is what you are doing. You know, what's the project that you're doing? And in parentheses, you can put who is involved. Name drop if you're able to. If you've already got a couple people on board, go ahead and say, here's who's on board so far. And believe me, the more of those names you get, the easier it makes the other people to say yes, because they want to be in a project with their friends. So, oh, they're
right,
involved,
right.
Sure. And it was just got easier and easier after the two or three names were down there. Next is your request. So you want to ask. A lot of people forget that. They go on and on, but your request would be, would you be willing to give this project your endorsement, or would you be willing to, however you want them to participate. It's your request.
All right, let's get this straight now. So the request is actually
what you're asking for.
Way down the email there. It's into, you know, would you be willing to give your endorsement or participate.
So starting on the top, hello, Jack, my name is Keith Leon. We met at Breakthrough Success Seminar. I just love you and everything about your work. You've helped me so much. here's what I'm doing, a book called Who Do You Think You Are? It's about, you know, people that are helping them discover their purpose. I'll ask you three questions. My request is, would you be willing to participate, right,
okay,
in this project?
So you don't really ask them specifically. You just ask for their participation.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
And then the next step is, what's in it for them? How will
okay.
it benefit them?
Okay, now do we necessarily know what that is?
If you think about it, you probably will. Like for my book, it was just about getting them more exposure. You know, in my type of book, they know I'm not gonna pay 68 people to be in my book, or it'll cost me $500,000 to do the book, right? So what do they get out of it? Is they get exposure from being in the next best selling book, which they totally got that it was going to be that as soon as they heard about it. They're like, wow, this is hot. Yeah, I want to be in it. So that's what's in it for them. The next is, what's the benefit for everybody if they choose to participate? So what's the benefit for everyone if they choose to participate? So that's where, you know, people's lives will change. In essence, people that read this book will be mentored by all the greatest minds in the world, and we all want that. So it'd just be awesome if you participated. That's the benefit for everyone.
Okay.
Go ahead.
No, go ahead. I wanted you to finish. How do we close? Are we at the close?
Yep. So next is, how quick and easy it will be for them to participate. Quick and easy. That's key. You want to make it quick and you want to make it easy. And if you can make that clear to them, then it's easy for them to say yes. So for me, it looked like I've set up a conference room to record the interview. It'll only take 10 minutes. And then I will take the interview and transcribe it later. So they're just going to pop in. I'm going to ask them three questions, and then we're done.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Right? So I made it so easy for them. I was like, oh, 10 minutes. I could do 10 minutes in the limo from the airport to my speech. Right? So I just made it so easy for them. And then the last part is, how honored you would be by their participation.
Okay.
And then after that, that's where you put your information. So, you know, just from, and then your name, and then all your title and everything else, all that stuff you have underneath your name, that's down below where they would scroll down to see that. They don't need to see that. They only want to see that if they want to learn more about you. So I have an example of one that I sent, if you want me to just run through it, and then you can look at your list that I just gave you and see how it matches up.
Okay, let's do that. Is everyone
right.
listening?
So this one was to Joe Vitale. All right? So I said, Dear Joe, my name is Keith Leon. Surprisingly, we have not met yet. I'm a big fan of your work, and I'm looking forward to meeting you real soon. The reason for my email is, I'm creating an incredible book and would love to include you and your words of inspiration in the book. Let me tell you quickly what it's about. Keyword, quickly. It's called Who Do You Think You Are? Discover the Purpose of Your Life. This book uses a series of three inquiry questions to uncover the inspirational stories of successful people and how they were put on their path. This book will help people discover their purpose in life and to see how they are not so different than those who have already had success. In parentheses, I had, it will be done in the format of Chicken Soup for the Soul, meaning short stories.
Mm-hmm.
Here are just a few of the people who have said yes to the book so far. Jack Canfield, David Shermer, John Ashraf, John DeMartini, John Gray, Hale Dwoskin, Bob Proctor, Rudy Rudiger, Stuart Emery, Mark Thompson, Bill Bartman, Christine Comerford, Terry Cole Whitaker, Rhonda Britton, Craig Shoemaker, Greg Scott Reed, Scott Evans, Armin Moran, Debbie Allen, and Patricia Drain.
Well, obviously Joe Vitale is one of the last people you contacted.
Yeah. Well, I contacted 68, so he wasn't too deep.
Yeah.
And then next, I am requesting a phone interview with you, and I'll ask you just three questions. Sounding easy so far. It only takes 10 minutes to do the interview. Wow, 10 minutes. I've set up a conference line where I can do the interview and transcribe the interview at a later time. Will you participate in this inspirational project? We sure would love to have you on board. many powerful blessings, Keith Leon. Then underneath that, successful communications, phone number, blah, blah, you know, the quote from Seven Steps book from John Gray and all my stuff below. But that's, none of that can be seen unless you scroll, and everything else was in the space of the window without having to scroll. So what I would say is take time creating this letter right here. It means everything to your project success. And if you're contacting the person by the phone, then you'll use your letter as your notes to keep you on track while you're on the call. You know, these people are like super successful, and they don't typically have a lot of time to spend on the phone hearing someone drone on about their project. So that's why the elevator email or the elevator pitch was created in the first place. So here's a money-saving tip really quick, that if you're going to do an interview type book like I did, if you go to www.nocostconference.com, it's a free conference room, unlike no other conference rooms out there. A lot of them will give you a number that you can call back and listen to the interview later, but this one is the only one that actually gives you the MP3 file that you can download to your computer. And that way, when you go to transcribe, you don't have to listen to the whole interview and type 150 words a minute to keep up. You can actually stop, pause, go backwards, go forwards, because you've downloaded it to your computer.
Oh, that's awesome. That's awesome.
Yeah.
I know a few colleagues of mine, as well as myself, have a few conference bridges and the functionality. But to already have the MP3 file is really awesome.
Incredible. Yeah, a lot of the new thought leaders were like, "What? Give me that."
Yeah, so it's www.nocostconference.com.
Correct. No cost.
Okay. That's really awesome. And now, you know what, Keith, this is awesome for how it worked for you and that you had this book project. How would something like this elevator email help someone, let's say, who's wanting to become more involved with, say, a nonprofit organization that's really moving, you know, conscious America or the world consciously or something like that, and they really want to hook up with people?
Mm-hmm.
Is this really just about creating a project for yourself that they can participate in? What about connecting with people that perhaps you want to become involved with what they're doing?
It would still be very beneficial to create this because, again, whoever you get on the phone is most likely getting a lot of calls and they only have a little amount of time. So when you can really laser in and just say boom, 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 boom with what you want to do, even if it's to participate with them,
mm-hmm.
then it helps them get clarity. I think what I've learned over the years was by watching people stand in front of leaders and myself is just get into a big, long, super long story. And like if you just got off stage from 90 minutes of speaking, your head's kind of spinning and it's hard to really focus anyway. And so when people go into a big, long thing, you can only take about 20 seconds to 30 seconds with each person before you're just like, everything starts to sound like, wah, 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 wah. Right? So I'd say if you can get it all in the span of the attention span they're able to keep with their head spinning, then it's gold. It's just gold. And by the way, nonprofits are really, really easy because they're looking for and wanting people to help. So if you have a way that you can help them, just consider that a yes. Before you even pick up the phone. And then your confidence level of knowing you have a yes will help you put it forth in a way that's coming from a place of confidence. And then they'll mirror that and say, well, of course, yes. But we'll get to that later.
I mean, it's really easy to sit by our computers like it is in the chat room and we can, like, you know, type all this text and it's even though it has, you know, full purpose and meaning behind it. But then what happens when someone contacts you back and now you're having the conversation or you have to follow up with them?
Yeah. Yeah. I'm going to talk about all that in a few minutes. And first I did the elevator email and then I would sit down and when I hit send, I'd do it. Remember in the movie The Secret, that wave, every time they made a wish or whatever, that wave would go.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, every time I hit send on the computer, I would imagine that wave going, and then I would pick up the phone and immediately call the office of the person I just sent the email to and follow up, just like you were saying.
Okay, now when you say call the office, you ask to speak for the person you wanted to interview directly?
You want to speak to their assistant. So the first person who answers usually is the operator, who can't help you with anything, right, other than transfer you to the person you want to reach. So just say hello and then promptly ask, may I speak to Joe Vitale's assistant, right? And they say, like, sure. And then they transfer you to that office of the assistant, and then the assistant answers the phone. And then that's when you tell them that you just sent an email with a request for Joe and that you wanted to follow up and make sure that they received it. Right? So there were many times when the email had ended up in their spam filter, and the assistant would say, oh, can you hang on just a minute? You know, let me find it. And then they'd be like whistling and you hear clicking, and they're like, I'm sorry. I'm like, no problem, take your time. And then they would fish it out of the spam box, and then they come back and say, I found it. Okay, now it's on the top of the inbox, and I'm so sorry that, you know, it took me so long to get it. How can I help you? And so you went from, yeah, hello, what do you want, right? I'm busy, to, how can I help you? And completely change the energy by the way that you asked. I just sent an email with the request, and I wanted to follow and make sure that you received it. Did you receive it? They go, they find it, and then as soon as they say, yeah, we found it, then you say, great, would you mind just clicking it open really quick so I can walk through it with you? It'll just take a minute. Like, sure. They open it up, and then you go quickly through the elevator email with them. Again, it's really short, right? You kept it lasered, so you can just, like, read through it like I just did, and without the little interjections I put in. But you just read through it really quick, and they will get, whether this is really cool or, I don't know, it's kind of half-baked, right? They will know. And then the truth is that the assistant's the one that makes the decision anyway. Right? If they think it's something that the person that you're trying to get a hold of would be involved, then they're going to pass it on. They're kind of the screening process anyway.
Right.
So if they get it, then this is good as a yes. Right? They'll say, I need to ask this person, but really it's them. And so I have a lot of tips of how you can really get to know that assistant, and that's just key.
Well, can we go into that? Can we go into those 11 keys? Or is that part of the 11 keys of the self-confidence about moving forward, or is this something different?
That's something different.
Okay. Well, we have – how much time do we have? We have about – I don't
halfway
even know.
There.
Yeah, so
halfway
let's
– Yeah. So I just say be really, really nice to all the assistants you speak with, because truth be told, how you treat them and how they see you means everything to whether you reach the person you're trying to reach or not, right? If they like you, you're set. If they don't, then you're done, right? So take really good notes. Greet them warmly. Ask their name right off the bat. Write it down and use it as often as possible because people love to hear their name, right? So here's an example. Suzanne, I'm doing a book project, and I'm seeking a 10-minute phone interview with Joe Vitale, and I hope that you're going to be able to help me achieve this. Always ask for help. People love to help people. They want to help you achieve what you want to achieve. So just ask them, I hope you're going to be able to help me. If you get someone friendly after the initial hello, like they're not just like, you can tell they're busy and they just want to get off the phone. But if they're actually a little friendly, chat with them for a minute and cheer them up in any way possible, because the truth is that they're typically doing the work of three people, and they could use a good laugh, right, or a good thought in their day. And if you get them chatting about their family, maybe they mention that they have a cold or something, you write these things down. And then the next time you call back, you would say something like, Suzanne, how's your daughter doing? Did little Jimmy make it to the ball game in time that day? Or, I hope you're feeling better from that cold you had last time we spoke. And they'll be blown away, A, that you even remembered that information, but B, that you would bring it up, and that wins big time points right there. So
that really reflects the old cliche of people don't care what you know until they know that you care. So,
mm-hmm.
and it touches almost immediately. I mean, people
yeah.
kind of just hone right into the conversation of the interest that others have
yeah.
in them. So
yeah, yes, and funny, all the things that I taught you, these are all awesome. But the number one thing to achieving what you want is follow up, and you said that earlier. That's key. As I said before, these people are doing the work of three people. They're fielding hundreds of emails a day, taking phone calls, setting appointments, making travel arrangements, booking flights, hotel arrangements, calling limo services, coordinating their boss's schedule. And the key is for you to do something that makes you stand out and then follow up. So if you use words like, I know how busy you must be, so I'll make it quick. Or, Suzanne, I appreciate all that you do for Joe and those of us who are fans of his work. And mean it. You know, this is honest stuff that you're sharing with them that you might not because you were nervous. But you just be authentic and be real. And these are the type of things that set you apart from people that are just calling in asking for stuff.
Mm.
You know, she's got tons of people calling all day asking for stuff. But if you take time to check in with her, find out about her, who she really is, and let her know who you are, and then you follow up. Follow up. Key piece that I received over and over again with Who Do You Think You Are was, wow, Keith, your follow-up is amazing. And I have to tell you, I'm a busy person, and if it wasn't for the follow-up, I can tell you that you never would have got that interview. Because most people, they don't follow up more than once. Not they might follow up one time, and then if it doesn't happen, then they're gone, right? Most people don't remember the assistant's name. No one but you will remember that their kid had a soccer game or that they had a cold last time you spoke, and your job is to stand out to the gatekeeper. And once you have the gatekeeper as your friend, you not only have the interview, but you have a new friend. And if you ask me, that's the best part. I mean, I have made some friends for life this way. And some of them don't even work for the person that they worked for when I met, and then we're still great friends and keep in contact to this day. It's all about relationships.
You know, well, that's really what I'd like to hone in on for our listeners today, too, is not just the direct contacts that we make in these efforts, but
mm-hmm.
how in establishing those relationships, we get to expand the relationships of the people that those people know.
Mm, yes.
Okay, and I know that this has been your experience. So
mm-hmm.
if you could just share a little bit about how that's expanded for you, and then maybe we can get into you know, what really gets in the way of people really taking the first step on this.
Mm, cool. Well, I got to say, when I watched the movie The Secret, instead of getting to the end of the film and saying, wow, I want to meet those people and I want to get their autograph, I said, wow, those are the kind of people that I want to hang out with. Those are the type of people that I want to be my friends. I want Jack Canfield to be my mentor, and I would love for us to be so close that they invited me to Thanksgiving dinner. And I just felt connected with certain ones of them that were in the film. And so I really came with what project can I create that will serve humanity and bring friendships like that? And so even before the thing that I told you, the project that tanked and all, it was already happening in my mind, but I just kind of put it there and then let it go and then started becoming the type of person that would be doing the type of work that they're doing. And that way, when I did meet them and I was standing in front of them, I would be doing the type of work that they do. So it really became about, how can I serve humanity? What other projects can I do that will be helping others and also be helping me in the process, but in service to humanity? And so when you are doing that type of work and then you find yourself standing in front of one of these luminaries and you are doing, you're not only doing that type of work, but you're in the same type of energy and you know how to ask, which is what I teach people. When you have all that combination, then you're able to just really connect with that person. It, it, you're coming from a different place than the person that's standing in front of them just saying, you know, I need you. Can you help me with my project?
Right.
Instead of, I did that, believe me, in front of many of them. And we laugh about it today because they don't even recognize me as the person I was when they met me later. And I was coming from a place of power. They didn't even recognize that I was the other person until I reminded them. And then they just laughed, right? Because the first time I stood in front of Bob Proctor, I was like, oh, I need you, I need you, I need you, for this needy place. And he was repelled. He was just like, get away.
Well, not too many people would have the courage to do that. So I commend you on that.
So then I come back, though, from a place of power. The thing about Who Do You Think You Are was I knew that that project was going to help people, right? I knew that it was a heart project and that it was going to serve humanity, and I knew it was so great, and it was going to be great whether any of those people were in the book or not. If I just got all my friends that I thought were living their purpose, it was just going to be just as powerful. So now I'm not coming from a place of I need them to make my project work. I was coming from a place of this project is awesome. Would you like to be involved? Yeah. And
that is really key, Keith. And I think that's how, you know, when we look at mastermind groups, you know, a lot of us will look at the visionaries and the luminaries, you know, in our industry or in the fields or the arenas where we want to really play big and participate. Yet we kind of lose sight of the value that's right around us. So, beginning. You know, that process of putting together those groups that have tremendous value and can build momentum and get you there as well.
And the perfect mastermind group, truth be told, would have people that did all different things and were at completely different levels. If you have like a mastermind group and everybody's a coach, how much do we really have to offer each other, right? If we're all coaches that are having a hard time getting clients, if one of us says, I need to get new clients, anybody have any ideas? And you're like, I don't know if I already knew I'd have clients. And you just bounce that around for an hour, a lot of good you're doing, right? So if you had Bob Proctor and somebody who's coaching for the first time and somebody who's been coaching for about 5 years and someone who's a doctor and somebody who's a lawyer and someone in every different type of field, now that's a mastermind group, right, that can really bounce different types of ideas around it, and there's a lot to be discovered with that type of group.
Well, there's definitely value in that diversity, that's for sure.
Yeah.
All right, so now they call you the book guy. And, you know, here we are talking about mastering and you know, building fantastic and powerful relationships to get us, help us, like Jack Canfield says, you know, take you from where you are to where you want to be. So now they're calling you the book guy.
Right.
And let's step into that for a moment.
Okay. All right. Well, the reason they call me the book guy is because I've been blessed enough to learn from all these great visionaries and luminaries. And as I was doing the Who Do You Think You Are project, I kept to that 10 minutes every time. But a lot of times at the end of the call, and I said, okay, thank you for, you know, participating, they would go, ho, wait, right? Tell me more about the project. What's going on? And so I had the opportunity to ask some of these people that I know self-published their books and had bestsellers. I asked them, how did you do that? And I was rolling tape, and so they just laid it all out for me. So I've been blessed enough in creating these relationships and aligning myself with these great people to have them mentor me and teach me how to self-publish and have a bestseller. So I did that twice. I did it with the Seven Steps book. I did it with Who Do You Think You Are. Of course, I did it with the Seven Steps book long after it came out, right after Who Do You Think You Are. It was because everybody who bought Who Do You Think You Are said, what else does he have? And then they bought that, so it brought that book up too. And then about a year and a half ago, I was thinking to myself, I can do this for me. Can I do it for someone else? So I took one of my mentor clients who had finished their book and had asked my wife and I, will you publish my book through our publishing company? And we decided, let's publish someone who isn't our book and see if we can do it for them too. And so I did the whole what we call joint venture book process, and I did that and created an international bestseller for him. So then I knew that I could do it not only for me but for other people. And meanwhile, I only carry 10 mentor clients at a time to help them with their book. And I was doing that, and at the end of the year, last year, I just looked down and thought, what do I want to do in 2010? What do I want to do this year? And so I just looked back at all the people that I was working with and all the different things that I was doing, and the thing that I was having the most fun with, that I just have so much passion for, is helping people with their book and getting their book out of their mind and onto the page, and then printed, and then teach them how to sell the book as well. And so about a year and a half ago, I was at an event, a Peak Potentials event, and I stood up on stage for a little bit and I spoke, and from that point on, everybody kept coming up saying, "Hey, aren't you the book guy? Are you the book guy? Are you the book guy?" And I just I laughed every time, because I'm like, no, I'm a very well-known relationship expert. Thank you, the book guy. But by the next year, just the end of last year, I was like, wait a minute, the book guy. Everybody's calling me that. Why don't I just go see if it's available? So I did. I found They Call Me the Book Guy.com. And so I've just been accepting that, right? I just gave in. Okay, yeah, I'm the book guy. And that's how it came about. It's kind of funny. But the people at a Peak Potentials event about a year and a half ago named me the book guy, and people have been calling me that ever since.
Oh, it's a great domain, too, because I'm sure it doesn't get much competition.
Yeah.
You know, but it's right to the point, you know, and it's amazing how we go through these journeys and the things that spike up for us that take us off into another path. And I think that that's something that I really want to press upon our listeners today, is that through your journey of, you know, mastering, you know, relationship building, and then leveraging those relationships to find out more and, you know, and share this project with the world, you've now spun off onto something else that you're passionate about and that moves you and still contains and maintains all of the relationships that you've created.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I applaud
and
you
Jack
on that.
And Jack Canfield did the foreword for my book, and is my mentor and my friend now. And John DeMartini came on a two-hour teleseminar about Who Do You Think You Are, and he said the very words that I had told you that I said when I was after I got done watching The Secret. I mean, Alex Mandozian said, "Why did you do this project?" And he said, "Because Keith does the work that I do. And if we're doing the same work and we're in synergy, why wouldn't I say yes?" And it was like everything that I spoke into existence that day has all come to pass. And it's not always the way we think it's going to look. It's even greater. And so what has come forth from that, from those relationships, are projects I didn't even know about or think about, because some of those people are the ones that came up with it. "Hey, Keith, do you want to be involved in this?" And next thing I know, I'm in another book. I'm in like 8 books now. And it's just phenomenal what those friendships have created. And I needed to do the inner work that it took to feel worthy of that, the inner work that it took to feel like I was giving the same level of value that they were. And instead of putting them up on a pedestal, looking at, "Oh, it's Jack," right? I met Jack at the level of Jack, looking him straight in the eye, feeling that I had something that I could also offer him in our conversation. And when you come from that place, and you're that kind of makes you a doer, right? I think there's talkers and there's doers, right? Doers are 0.1% of the world. Talkers are 99.99%. So when you're a doer and you're doing the work to be of service, to help others, and you feel worthy and you stand in front of them, you identify yourself as a doer, and doers want to help doers. They want to support doers. "Oh, you're a doer. How can I help you?" And that's the way it works.
Well, let's delve a little deeper into that inner work and and those 11 keys. I keep dribbling all over these 11 keys because I so want you to share them with our listeners.
I know.
Because
I'm going to have to hurry.
You know, yeah, some of them are maybe familiar, but in the pattern that you have them listed and what it takes is really, really key. And I think it's probably the most important part of your delivering your message today. So,
right. Now, do we need to stop right on the hour, or does it just keep going?
Well, how much time? We have a little less than 15 minutes. Is that enough
all right.
time?
Then I'm going to just kind of blaze through these. Okay. So when I sat down to think of the number one key to self-confidence, what I realized quickly was that there were actually 11, so I came up with the top 11 list of things that I feel will help to get you there in the order that I think that they are. But, of course, you may completely do this list in a different order, but just bear with me. So 11, I have meditation, visualization, affirmations. MVA, meditation, visualization, affirmations. Now, I know we've all heard these, but how many of us actually do this on a regular basis? For me, it wasn't until probably the 20th time that I watched the movie The Secret that I finally heard Marcy Shimoff when she said, in so many words, the difference between the people in this movie and everyone else is that these great leaders have made these practices habitual. That's the word she used, habitual.
Yeah.
And I went, oh, it's got to be a habit. You can't just sit down once in a while and say, oh, I wish that blah, blah, and then it fell into my lap. I need to be doing this every day, and not only every day, but all the time. This is just the way I need to be thinking, acting, and being 24/7. So meditation, visualization, affirmations. If you're not someone who can close your eyes and see something, do something you love. Are you an artist? Are you a painter? Do you like to play music? Do that and then think of these things that you want to create. And I believe that works just as well. Number 10 is positive self-talk. This is another one. My wife is really good at this one, positive self-talk. She's constantly telling herself, great job, Mara, even if it's a small thing, or you can do this. And what this does, positive self-talk replaces all the little liar talk. That's what I call that voice in your head that says you can't do this, or who are you to do this. I call that the little liar, right? Positive self-talk stifles the little liar. It's like taking a piece of duct tape and sticking it on the little liar's mouth, and then they're like, I can't hear you. I can't hear what you're saying, because the little liar voice is going, whoa, 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 right? So positive self-talk as much as you can. My wife and I had a client who felt like she was ugly, and everyone was always telling her how beautiful she was, and she just wasn't hearing it. She didn't see it. So what we did for her was we encouraged her to stand in front of the mirror nightly and tell herself how beautiful she was. What a great job she does in her business. What a fantastic friend she is to have. How much she supports others and how sweet she is. If the thought of standing in front of a mirror right now scares the hell out of you, it's probably the perfect thing for you to do.
Mm-hmm.
Number 9, be grateful for what you have. I think that the law of attraction gives us what we focus on. If we're upset and mad and unsure, we get more reasons to be upset, mad, or unsure, right? But when we get into the things that we're grateful for, it was John DeMartini, during an interview for Who Do You Think You Are, told me he had the largest list of gratitudes in the world, that he had been doing a gratitude list every morning for 38 years, and he kept every one of them. So I started making this part of my everyday routine, getting up in the morning and writing down all the things I was grateful for. And the more I did that, the more I had to be grateful for. It just kept coming. And I stretched and even started writing things that I didn't even have yet and saying I was grateful for them. And then
important that is, the gratitude. You know, we share it often in our groups and a lot of the teleclasses that we have, and even before you go to bed at night, so that, you know, it really shifts your vibration, so that when you're waking up in the morning and you're realizing that's how you went to bed, in a state of gratitude, and how it raises your vibrational levels to be able to really receive more to be grateful for, because you've connected to that energy and you attract it.
Number eight.
I've extended the show, by the way. So take
you
your
did?
Time. Yes.
Oh, good. Good. You got to teach me how to do that.
Okay.
There's been times when I needed to do that, and I know it keeps streaming, but the people that are on live are like, what? Okay. Great. Thank you. Eight is surround yourself with people who build you up, not tear you down. I remember this one huge insight I had when I started doing personal development work was I realized that I was going to have to make some changes when it came to the people that I hang out with, because it's important who we surround ourselves. Matter of fact, Jack Canfield is the one who told me, you are the five people that you spend most time with. And I was like, oh, no. I'm looking at my band member at the time. I'm looking at even my own mom, right? I had to tell my own mom that if she continued to act the way that she was acting, that I wasn't going to call her anymore. Because every time I picked up the phone and called her, she would complain about how I never picked up the phone and called her. And this wasn't working for me. So one day I said, you know, I'm on the phone. I did pick up the phone. And if this behavior continues, then I'm not going to call you, because I need to be around people that are positive. And I don't need to call and just get hammered every time that I call you. And so she stopped doing that, which is really cool.
Have you talked to your mom?
Yes, I have. She stopped doing that. She realized that that was a pattern that she got from her mom. And, man, when I used to call my grandmother, she did the same exact thing. So I didn't want to point out, you know, by the way, that's your mom, right? So me being that blunt and saying, you know, like, I might not call her again, had her really look at it and then make the decision to change it because she wanted to, not because I gave her an ultimatum, but she totally got, wow, I'm just repeating that behavior, and wow, that must really stink to call someone and then have them say, you never call me, right? And so she changed that behavior, and it's been great ever since. Number seven is act as if. So, Susie, what does this mean to you if I tell you act as if?
Act as if means really putting yourself in the experience of what you want to be doing.
Mm-hmm,
put yourself,
mm-hmm.
You know, and that's part of the visualization process, you know, and that's carry yourself in the way where it's already manifested.
Yes, yes. Yeah, I think it's the largest and greatest form of visualization that you can do. So you want to go test drive that dream car, try on a $5,000 suit, rent a Porsche for the weekend, right? Step into the role. I have a great story of this. I went to one of Jack Canfield's events. He invited me to come to this event, and we had met on the phone, and I was really good friends with Mark Victor Hansen, but I hadn't really met him in person yet. We had just talked on the phone. So I'm at this event, and at his event, at the end of it, he has this thing called the Come As You Are party, which is, 5 years later, we're coming back to a party to meet all the people that were at this event, only from where we're at 5 years from now. So I literally got to stand in front of Jack when we had just met a couple of days before, and he was doing a seminar, so we hadn't really got to spend that much time together yet. I got to stand in front of him and say, Jack, oh, man. He's like, how you doing? I'm like, oh, it's great. You know, having the bestseller and being on Oprah, and I really got to thank you for doing the forward to my book. I mean, that really just launched me. And you know, and then the projects that we did together after that, and getting to be like such a good friend and having you as my mentor has been phenomenal. And he's just like, well, you know, being with you has been just as great for me. And so we did this thing, and as 5 years later, and it's all come to pass. It's just a miracle, except for the Oprah thing. I didn't get on Oprah yet, but it's all good. there's a thing called Oprah Mountain, and, you know, I'm climbing that.
Well, you know, some people have, their dreams don't include Oprah, and that's okay,
yeah.
too.
yeah, everything else happens. So. but imagine getting to do that. And here's the cool thing is while we were in that exchange, there were hundreds of people at that party, but while we were doing that, nobody engaged. Nobody interrupted us. I would see people come up and start, but the energy that we were having with each other, they were like, oh, I don't want to interrupt that, and they just kept walking away. And I was like, wow, all this time I've waited, and now I had that like 15 minutes of purely connecting 5 years later. with Jack. It was just so fun, so fun.
But I've always wanted to go to one of those parties, honest to God, from the time I first met him,
yeah.
which was at the Harvard Club in Manhattan. And when he talked about it, I was like, oh, gee, I so want to go to this party. Problem was, I didn't have a vision at the time, you know?
Mm.
So I was like, wow, how can you dress as, you know, not... and be and act as if you don't know where you are yet. So I had some groundwork mm-hmm. and some inner work to do.
Well, here's an idea. Go check his schedule and find out where he's speaking and see when he's going to be in your area and throw one of those parties.
Oh, and well, like, he's going to be here in May. On May 1st, he's going to be, well, in the Boston area. So
I think
I'm honed in.
July 31st, you should be having that party when he's in town and get a couple other people that he knows on board. You know, they're coming, and next thing you know, it could happen. Anything could happen, believe me. I'm here to tell you. Number six, follow your passion. It's about having the right project for the right reasons. And if you're following your passion, you are on course. I know that for me, the jobs that I always dreaded were the ones that I had no passion for. You know, perhaps because of the pay or the perks. I would convince myself initially that I had passion for it because it paid really well or the perks were good. But soon that wore off and I ended up feeling not wanting to go to work quite often. So doing what you love and loving what you do is huge. Number five, find the people who have what you want and copy them. Yes, yes, yes. Yes, we all know that it's good to study. Many of us have, how many books and CD programs that we bought at seminars do we have on our shelves? You know, how many of us actually do what it says in that program on those CDs or in the book? How many of us have done everything we were encouraged to do in that book that we read? Right, we tend to only do the ones that are in our comfort zone or that we're used to doing. I think that if staying in our comfort zone and doing the things that we felt comfortable with was the answer, then everybody would be multimillionaires, right? Every one of us would be doing what we love for our job. You know, most mentors will tell you that if you take any of the systems that you brought from them or you bought from them and you did everything that it told you, like to the letter, that you would already be having success with what they would have taught you?
Well, that's so true. I mean, the system is there. And I think along that journey is where we find out where we've fallen short with our own power, you know, and not stepping into it. And we find out all those blocks that get in the way. And let's just hope that people aren't really, you know, dumbing up and really focusing on all the problems and then looking for the solutions that can help us move ahead. You know, I know what it's like to give those presentations and to be there and then to come home and how a lot of people feel like, you know, it's great when you're out there on the football field and everyone's cheering you on. And then when you come back and you're alone, you know, I think that's where a lot of people just, they become paralyzed. So I really think what you have to offer in these keys is really important.
Well, the next one piggybacks right off of that. Spend time with a coach or a mentor. You know, if you approach someone that you want to be a mentor, and I was telling you about this earlier, and you use the language that lets them know that you not only purchased their product, but that you actually worked at it and you've done the things that it said, right? When you're speaking the language that they teach you in their books or in their DVD set that you bought at their seminar back in the room, right? Then they're usually glad to help those people get to the next level. And you have a mentor for life. If you go up and say, I've done all of that, what is my next step? And you ask them for the next step. Then they tell you, here's what you need to do. You go do that. The next time they have an event, you show up again. You say, hey, remember what you told me last time? Yeah, I already did that. What's next? They're not going to ask you for a dime ever again, and you're going to have a mentor for the rest of your life every time you stand in front of them, as long as you've done what they told you the last time that you met.
Well, and I know I've taken that quite personal because Jack stood in front of me and he said, if you apologize one more time, I will never talk to you again.
Yeah.
So now I've stopped apologizing.
And good for him for being that real with you, you know?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. He was one of the very first Insight facilitators, which is where I did most of my experiential work, was with Insight seminars, and I love that. That's like a total Insight 2.
Yeah.
By the time you get to Insight 2, there's no more of that. It's like, And good for him for being that honest, and you for hearing it and being willing to make the change, right? Because you're only doing what you're doing. There's nothing to be sorry about.
He did draw a very interesting and insightful perspective around that, which really changed it for me, but it changed it once and for all. You know, once you hear it, it'll never leave you.
Yeah,
so
especially from someone that's
I am
really
grateful, bad. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
All right, number three, heart selling. No, I didn't say hard with a D, but heart, H-E-A-R-T, selling. This is when you believe that what you're sharing and the information that you're sharing, you share it from a heart space. Now, there's an art to heart selling, and I'm pretty good at it, but this is a specific skill that is taught by some dear friends of mine. You can learn the art of heart selling from Jesse Corin and Charlotte Jacobs in their phenomenal Rejuvenate Your Practice 2-day intensive program. If you have an interest in heart selling, you can get a full scholarship to the Rejuvenate Your Practice 2-day intensive at no cost by going to rejuvenateyourpractice.com and tell them that Keith sent you. I think you just pay for whatever the, you know, cost them to create the folder and that kind of stuff. But
okay, let me just get this into the chat room. It's called Rejuvenate
Your Practice.com. And so they work specifically with people in our field, you know, people that want to make a difference, that are and want to do heart-centered work. They teach you how to ask for the money, how to sell from a place where you're coming from your heart.
Awesome. Thank you so much for that recommendation.
Yeah, you got it. Yeah, it's a phenomenal, phenomenal program. Number two, face your fears and do it anyway. Face your fears and do it anyway. I have heard many of my mentors admit to me personally that they get scared too, that they have the same fears that any of us do, but the difference is they do it anyway. Whatever it is that's in front of them, no matter how daunting, they just go for it. I've learned over the years to live my life like this. I mean, I'll face anything head on. There's no fear that I will not face down head on and conquer. And believe me, this was not an overnight process for me. I had to start one baby step at a time and work my way up to it. I had to do small things that I knew that I could accomplish and work up from there. One of my first huge things I faced head on was my fear of heights. And I faced my fear by parachuting out of a perfectly good running airplane. And by the time I touched the ground, I knew that if I had just done what I had done, I could no longer be afraid of an 8-foot ladder.
Wow. You know, my kids have done that, but I was the ground person, so maybe I have some work to do.
Yeah, it's freaking incredible. If you get out the door, I mean, when you look out and you see the whole earth under you, it's like, But once you get out and you experience it and you hit the ground, it's like, you just want to jump in the plane again. Phenomenal. So that brings us to number one.
Okay, this is number one, the biggest key building self-confidence.
Self-confidence. Believe in yourself. Believe in yourself. Believe in yourself. This is what I thought when I looked at the title, the number one key to the path of self-confidence. But, you know, once I started thinking about how one gets to that point, believe in yourself, that's where all the other things started popping forth. The other 10 came, because I think all of those other things are the things that if you do them and you do them habitually will get you to the point where you believe in yourself. And so when you believe in yourself and then you stand in front of whoever it is from a place of inner knowing of your worthiness and that your project's worth is great, then yes is the only answer to your question.
Oh, that's beautiful. Thank you. I'm glad this is being recorded because it's hard for me to talk, type, and write at the same time.
Yeah,
but
that's an art too.
That is so true. Isn't that, Keith, where most of us fall? We just stop short. We just stop short because the dreams are grand as they are. And even some of the baby steps, you know, we have it all in place. We have the plan. We have the aspirations. We may even have the how to get theirs. But the one thing that, you know, is like a carrot dangling that some of us just can't get a hold of is that belief that we can.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, and belief in ourselves.
And it can happen. The change can happen really fast once you start just really, really focusing on these particular steps, and you just really are keep being authentic and get that not worthy thing out of the picture, things can change really fast. I mean, think about it. I shared about watching The Secret and deciding that I wanted to know and work with and be friends with all these people. Well, you know, The Secret, that came out, what, 2006? So it's been 4 years. And in 4 years, you know, now I'm speaking on the biggest stages in the world. I have all the mentors that I identified that I wanted to have as mentors. I have great luminaries speak of me the same way that they speak about each other. And I really have come to a place where I feel that what I have to offer will help people. And I, because I honestly believe that and know that within the core of my being, then everybody else just mirrors what I believe and who I am. So what you believe and who you believe yourself to be and what you believe your project to be, that's what people will mirror back to you. So it all starts with you and that 3 feet around you. Just draw a circle around you 3 feet wide, and that's where you start, and you've got to straighten everything out in that circle right there. And once you straighten all that out and get to the place where you love yourself as much as you love others, and you give yourself a break the way that you give your family a break, and you're willing to forgive yourself the way that you're able to forgive others, when you get to that point with yourself, then everyone else can love you, and everyone else can forgive you, and everyone else can say yes.
Well, I know that. That's so important when we, you know, it's like decluttering our lives, you know, and really in that 3 feet, take a look around and see what you're engaging in on a daily basis, and really take a look at what absolutely is not serving you anymore, you know, and reach for that resonates, you know, completely with where you want to go. So, and, you know, have fun in the process. Because I know, Keith, you have a lot of fun. You're singing. You've got crowds rolling. You've got people dreaming and can't get songs out of their head. That's what I hear.
Yeah. Yes.
So, you know, I have to consider myself actually really blessed that a colleague of mine and a very good friend, Louise Crooks, has connected us together because I know that there's some thinking up here that we can be doing and, you know, continue on our journey to really make a difference for others and really enjoy the quality of our own lives along the way because really, you know, that's the gift. That's the gift that we all look, you know, for and being solid in our own power so that we're able to offer people to see their own power. Because without that, it doesn't work. It doesn't work for us.
Yes.
So let's kick off now because we only have 20 minutes. I want to talk a little bit about this ridiculous offer that you've actually made available to Wisdom Wide Open Radio, our journeyers. Mm-hmm. Our wisdom journeyers and our soulmates here. And really this is a package. I'm going to let you explain and, you know, when this will be available. And then, you know, I'll direct people to the link in the chat room where they can come and find out about this, because I know there's one component, which is the last component, the bonus that you offer here, that is probably the most valuable that that people are going to be able to do, and that's have that experience. So let's talk about your offer.
All right. Well, what I did was I sat down and I thought about what you and I were going to be talking about for this hour. And so then I looked at all the things that I have done and put together and worked on over those last 4 years, and even before that with our relationship book. And I thought, what are the things that I have that would support your listeners in being able to create the life that you and I have just painted? And so what I came up with was the 7 Steps to Successful Relationships downloadable book is the first thing. That's the first book that my wife and I wrote together. John Gray put his endorsement on the front cover. I mean, what a great to start your work as relationship experts with the number one guy's name on there saying that you guys rock. But that's a workshop that we used to give, and I was talking with John, and he said, you guys have got to put this into book form so you can get it out to the world. So we created this workshop and a book called The 7 Steps to Successful Relationships. And if you do those 7 steps, you will create relationships that you only dreamed of before. So you get the downloadable book. You can download that to your computer and read it. Second is the Who Do You Think You Are book. That's the book that we've been talking about where I interviewed 63 people made it into the book, all about life purpose, how they discovered their life purpose, and what would they tell people that are searching for theirs. Forward by Jack Canfield, 10 people from The Secret, actors, musicians, doctors, authors, everybody's in this book. Incredible. It's what I read for inspiration. And they're all short stories, like I had read in the elevator email. So you literally, once you've read it through, you can use it as one of those books where you just need inspiration and you don't have much time, and you just pick it up and open it to whatever page you want. And I guarantee you, the page that you open it up to, that'll be the perfect person and exactly what you needed to read that day. So it's a cool tool to have. I love when that happens. Yeah, it's the coolest. You'll also get the Who Do You Think You Are downloadable action guide. And what I did was I knew that there was no way that I was going to be able to personally mentor and coach everybody in the world who read Who Do You Think You Are, because I knew it was going to be a bestseller. So I created an action guide, and what that is a built-in coach. After you read each story, you go to the action guide, and it says what are the key things that you learned from this story? How can you apply them in your life? When will you put them into action? You know, when will you get started? And you make a commitment, and it's just like having your own coach. So I included that. Also included after Who Do You Think You Are, I got together some of the luminaries and visionaries from the book and did these teleseminars about different subjects. And one of them was Silencing the Dream-Killing Voice in Your Head teleseminar. So that's how these people and me deal with that voice inside our head that used to tell us that we're not good enough and that we can't do it and we're not worthy. You know, how do they combat that? And so we sat around and talked about that for an hour. So you'll get the recording of the Silencing Your Dream-Killing Voice in Your Head teleseminar, as well as Joint Venture Secrets downloadable book. This is gold. This is teaches what I did to create bestsellers with my self-published book. I was able to publish my own book and have it be an Amazon bestseller the first day out. That's because of what I learned actually from Chris Atwood and Joe Vitale. They taught me, but I found all of this in a book called Joint Venture Secrets, and I'm going to give you that book. And then, so you get the 7 Steps book, Who Do You Think You Are book, the Action Guide, Dream-Killing Voice in Your Head teleseminar, and Joint Venture Secrets downloadable book. And as an added bonus, a 30-minute life purpose or book creation mentor session with me. So I'll personally meet with you and see where you're at and where can you support and give it to you.
This so, is the golden nugget.
Yeah, that's awesome. So the total value is $480 of all of these things. And so I just I know that there's a lot going on in the world. I know people hear a lot of offers, and so I just wanted to make it ridiculous. And so for today only, this offer is $67.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. 60, I just ran and I pulled it, and my wife was like, what?
I think my daughter just went to Marshall's and bought a pair of something that was probably twice that much.
Yeah.
I can't. So we have all of these things. We have 7 steps to successful relationships. That's a downloadable book. This is the one that was endorsed by John Gray, right? And Who Do You Think You Are, downloadable book. And then Who Do You Think You Are, the action guide, because which is actually your coaching. That's your guide, okay. And Silencing the Dream-Killing Voice in Your Head teleseminar. Now, this was a teleseminar that you held for students of yours, correct?
Yeah, and people that had read, anybody who got the Who Do You Think You Are book, I invited them to a follow-up teleseminar series where I did 4 different calls and on different subjects, and one of them was dealing with the little liar voice in your head. So I had 1, 2, 3, and one person popped in, so I had like 4 different people on the call besides me, and we're just bouncing around our ideas of how we deal with that and how we got past certain hurdles in our life with that voice in our head. It's just powerful. It's a great hour.
It sounds like that. Very powerful. Mm-hmm. And then the Joint Venture Secrets downloadable book. That's 100 pages, and it's an instant download.
Yeah, and that book sells on my website for $49 right there.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
You know, people are just roaring in the chat room about how generous you're being. So I really want to thank you.
Well, you know why that is? It's more important to me that you have the support than anything, really. You know, I would say then to make it $2.99 or whatever, but to anything. It's just more important to me that you have that support. And so I just go within for my price. That's where I get my answer. And 67 is what came. So I said, okay. I wrote it down. And there you go.
All right. Let me tell everyone where they can find this incredible, generous, supportive offer from you, Keith. And that's at www.keithandmora.com. Is that where they can purchase that? Okay,
right.
Great.
So it's KEITHAN as in Nancy, D, and Mara is like Laura, but with an M. So it's M as in Mary, AURA.com. KeithandMora.com.
Yeah, Louise just reached down and said, you're just a love. You're just a laugh.
Just a laugh.
I love the way she says that, too. You're just a laugh. But really, I encourage people, I don't care if you download the books. I know that they're going to be incredibly useful to you and, you know, help you on this journey of creating really powerful relationships and just seeing how Keith was able to do this for himself, you know, and it's not an overnight process, but it's certainly going to send you on your way. But the valuable part of this is being able to connect with Keith personally, live, and with you as the focus. And I think that's well worth more the entire value of everything that's listed here. So I encourage you all to go to www.keithandmora.com and sign up for your value package at $67. And that will end at what? Tonight?
Well, you have listeners that come on after the fact, right, and listen?
Oh yeah, sure.
Okay, so we don't want to limit it to where they can't get it. So how long should we give them? Like 3 days?
Well, you know, that's entirely up to you. I don't know. You know. 3 days after, people come all the time. So, it's totally up to you. Typically, I would say 24 to 48 hours.
Right,
so,
right. That's what I wanted to do, but that
you know,
just
I mean,
came to me.
This is valuable stuff.
Yeah. Well, let's say 48 hours, and if it seems like there's still kind of a steady, I'm hearing from people kind of steadily, then I may extend it to 72 hours because I want to make sure that everybody can get it. But if this does speak to you, then just get on it. You know, we'll just do it that way.
Awesome. Okay, again, for the generous offer, it's www.keithandmaura.com. We also have a couple of other links I'd like to provide you for Keith so you can check them out. One of them is www.keithleon.com. That's where you get to see our awesome singing trainer, which I love. And you know what? I can't wait. I have to tell you, when I brought Keith on, he was like whistling a tune before I brought him on the air. So one of these days he's going to have to sing for me. And then the other one is www.theycallmethebookguy.com. That's pretty easy to remember.
Yeah.
As long as it is, but is there anything else, Keith, before, you know, we wrap up? I do want to just let our listeners know about an upcoming show that I do have, but do you have any parting words for our listeners that...
I just want to kind of reemphasize what I ended with before we started talking about this Wisdom Wide Open special, and that is, you know how we are, we have family members and people that we love that we would probably literally throw ourselves in front of a train for?
Yeah.
You know, that we would take a bullet for, or people that no matter what they do, like our children, no matter what they do, we're always going to love them. And no matter what they say, we're always going to forgive them.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Well, my tip is give yourself that same respect and that same love. Give yourself the ability to make a mistake now and then, and forgive yourself. If you say something that maybe you didn't want to say, and even if it hurt someone, forgive yourself for saying it. You're human. You make mistakes, and the only thing that ever happened in the past that affects us is when we let it affect us now, in this moment. It's already happened. This moment right now is the only one that matters. And so give yourself the same love and the same respect that you're so willing to give everyone else. And when you do that, your whole life will change.
Wow. Thank you so much for sharing that powerful message, Keith, because, you know, like I said, without filling the cup and standing in our own power, we have to ask ourselves, what do we really have to offer out there? You know, and
yes.
That doesn't mean sit still and think that you can't help others out there. It means really the first action to take is to really have that reflect upon yourself and be able to allow yourself that flow of energy that you're so readily to give, you know, to give everyone else. So I really appreciate sharing that. Thank you.
You got it.
All right, so what's next up for Keith?
What's next up for me is I am writing a book called Bake Your Book. Finish it fast and serve it up hot. So I'm basically writing a book about how to write a book and do it fast. And of course, I'm putting together programs that will fully support people who have been talking about writing a book forever. And my goal in 2010 is to help at least 500 people get their book completed this year.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so that's what I'm doing, putting together a online group mentoring program that will have three different levels. You know, it'll have beginner, intermediate, and advanced. So no matter where you're at in the process, you will get supported and the book everything, every type of support I can think of to support that, getting people to get that book out of them and to get it into print. Because no matter who you are in this world, you have something that you know that other people don't. Even when, if you think you don't, if you call me and we have this 30-minute mentor session, I can find it. I can find within you what it is that you have that other people need to know. And once you identify that and you write a book about it, you have a market. Your market is people that don't know what you already know. And if they want to know it, they don't have any problem spending $19.95 to get the answer. And so if you know how to set it up in a way that, like when Who Do You Think You Are came out, 1.5 million people got an email that day saying that my book came out, right? So when you can let that many people know that your book came out, then you're going to sell a lot of books.
Yeah. Not to mention... you know, the exposure that you're getting and people really finding value in what you have to offer. And folks, I just want to let you know that I've personally signed up for Keith's course.
Yeah.
That's up and coming and in the making of baking my own book as a newbie author. There's just some nice little tidbits I'd like to share out there. So I'm sure that you all have something stirring inside you, like Keith said, that's just waiting to get out, you know?
Yes.
And
yes, yes.
Can really make a difference for you as well as the people in your life that you're looking to serve. So I encourage
mm-hmm.
you all. And, you know, keep in touch with Keith. You can friend him on Facebook and
mm-hmm.
visit him again at all those wonderful websites in the chat room. And I want to say it's been a real pleasure, Keith. I know this was, you know, we put this together last minute, and I love how it flowed, and I loved everything that you were able to share with our listeners today. And it certainly, you know, opened up, a portal of wisdom for me as well. All right,
great.
So we hope to be contacting you again soon. And
mm-hmm.
actually, I think I'm scheduled to be on your show coming up, but I don't know exactly when.
Yes.
So
yes.
Look out for that, folks.
That's on the 22nd, March 22nd.
March 22nd on the Mel, the World According to Mel and
to Keith. Mel and Keith, exactly.
Mel and Keith on Blog Talk Radio.
Blog Talk Radio. So it's been my absolute pleasure to be here with you, and I look forward to speaking with each and every one of you individually and meeting out on the road. So take care, everyone. Thanks for having me.
Oh, thank you, Keith.
You
and
got
take
it.
Care. And say hi to Maura.
We'll do. Much love.
Okay. Take care. Bye-bye now.
Bye-bye.
Okay, Wisdom Journeyers, I just want to mention that we have a special edition live show on this Tuesday afternoon at 1 p.m. It's a special lunch hour show, and I'll be featuring Michael Port. He's the author of Are You Booked? Book Yourself Solid, I'm sorry. The name of the show is Are You Booked Solid? And I'm doing this in conjunction with the New Jersey Professional Coaches Association because Michael has been kind enough to be our keynote speaker for this event on April 17th. So I encourage anyone, coach, service professional, solopreneur, small business owner, how to get more clients and get them now. And Michael is an actor, turned New York Times best-selling author many times over, and we're really looking forward to this live and candid and personal interview. And that's Tuesday, March 16th at 1 p.m. Eastern. So mark your calendars. And I want to thank you all for coming back and joining me here on Wisdom Wide Open Radio. I had a great time with all of you and with Keith. And I just want to tell everyone to remember to find the joy in enjoying your journey. All right. Thanks so much, everyone. Bye-bye now.